We're talking with Jason Warren, of course, Oklahoma State University, and you're our Extension State Soil Scientist.
Yeah.
And you were showing some of the advantages of doing some no-till and then also no-till with cover crops. How does a guy, you know, take a look at this and decide, you know, what's right for them?
Well, I'm a huge proponent of no-till. I think if we can learn to manage all the, you know, weed management with herbicide selection instead of, you know, just running steel through the ground, we have a good opportunity to improve the productivity and character of our soils while decreasing erosion. And so the things we've struggled with over time, particularly as we move west in Oklahoma, is our rotation. And so we've looked at canola. We have continuous wheat producers out there. And, you know, we've got Milo and these things. But it's always a struggle to find the rotation. And that's where the cover crops have come in. And so folks have suggested that we can simply add cover crops to the winter or the summer fallow period in between wheat crops. And we've been doing work on that for 4 years now here at Lahoma. And then Jeff Edwards and Dr. Krenzer, all the guys have come before me, have worked on these things. And we've never been able to extract value out of the cover crops for the wheat crop in no-till. And one of the things about that is that wheat is very good for the soil. It's just very hard to manage under no-till conditions is what I've found. Mm-hmm. And so what we're looking at now is going into Milo after multiple years of planting cover crops in the summer fallow period to see if the Milo will respond to the improved soil characteristics that I can see in the soil when I dig in it. But the question is how do we extract that value? And so that's what we're looking at, because in past experiences, Milo is one. And corn and soybeans would probably do it, but I'm just not a very good corn and soybean farmer. But Milo, I can grow Milo. And so when we plant that into long-term no-till or soils that have seen improved soil structure and soil character, we can get a yield response from that. So that's what we're doing.
So the challenge is to find some value for that continuous wheat producer as far as to try to drop in that cover crop for what 45 to 50, 60 days?
Yeah. And as far as, you know, if a person is going to grow wheat and wants to add that cover crop in the summertime, then I would strongly suggest that they look at a grazing option. So I'm not a big fan of planting, say, sorghum sedan if I'm going to just plant wheat back into the standing material. But if I want to run cattle on it, I'm going to have sorghum sedan out there because that's a high forage-producing grass. Mm-hmm. But if I just want to grow nitrogen, then I'm going to grow cowpeas. And if I want a little bit of both, then I'll plant them both together. Mm-hmm. But one thing that guys need to know is when we start planting different species together, like sorghum sedan, cowpeas, and all these other things that we're hearing about in the popular press, those minor species of broadleaves are going to reduce the tonnage of material you produce because the tonnage comes from that grass. Mm-hmm. So if we want a big tonnage sorghum sedan or something like pearl millet that's going to grow a lot of biomass, if you want smaller tonnage to just cover the ground, then you could go with like a German millet or something. And that's a German millet and mung beans are both very short season crops that we can plant and kill in after emergence, maybe 30 days termination, because we can actually make grain on German millet and mung beans and then certain cowpeas. You could plant after wheat harvest, make grain, harvest it, and then plant wheat back into it. Now, it's a high-risk deal because mm-hmm. if it doesn't rain, it doesn't rain.
Right.
But that's an option, whereas like sorghum sedan or any other grain or forage sorghums and like long-season cowpeas and those things, it's going to be real late in the fall.
Right.
But the good thing about them is that because they're a longer season, you can let them grow longer and accumulate more biomass before you kill them at flower.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know that one of the concerns a lot of times when we start talking about cover crops in western Oklahoma, some of our more arid parts of the state, mm-hmm. the concern of are we losing more water than maybe we gain because of that cover crop?
Yeah. And the challenge is in some, it's kind of like a lot of our different tillage practices on wheat. In our research, we don't see any negative or positive impact over the long term maybe 1 year we could lose, you know, 20 bushels of wheat. And then the next year we may gain 10, and then we gain 2, and these things change. But the five-year average is that cover cropping in the summertime has no negative or positive impact on wheat. I've seen made observations, and we've got some plots, for instance, down in Chattanooga, that according to our in-season assessment of yield, we're going to lose 25 bushels of wheat as a result of cover crops in the summertime. But in our replicated stuff here in Lahoma, we've seen no negative or positive impact. The one thing I will say for certain is that canola, we thought we could cover crop canola, and we've had some success where we've planted a cover and then cut and baled that cover. And that's done at Chickasha, we had pretty nice success with that. But here at Lahoma, where we've terminated the cover and planted canola, we have challenges with stand establishment. And then if we have a dry fall, those plants that did establish don't have the soil moisture to get growing enough prior to winter, and they get killed out.
For a guy, literally, because you cover, you know, all types of soils that we have in the state from east to west, guy that wants to go in and say, and they use the buzzword soil health, I want to improve the soil, my soil health. Yeah. What does that mean for them to actually, what they got to do to actually accomplish that?
Well, it comes, you know, that soil health concept, I find it very fascinating. I'm a big fan of it, and I see in our soils, like some of these guys that have been no-tilling for 20 years, mm-hmm. as a soil scientist, I look at the soil and I'm amazed. Because I grew up turning, flipping dirt in western Oklahoma, and I look around at all these soils where we're flipping dirt, and they've been severely damaged. I mean, we've plowed 2 feet into the soil in some cases from erosion. Where we're no-tilling it, we're seeing tremendous improvements in the organic matter and biological activity, and therefore the productivity of those soils. And a lot of that productivity comes from our willingness to plant a summer crop. And, you know, historically we've been challenged with that, but now under no-till we're having fairly good success with these summer crops. And so the key to soil health to me is finding a productive, economically viable rotation. In Oklahoma, we're fascinating from a national perspective because we run cattle on cropland. And when I first came here, that was a significant challenge for the adoption of no-till because people were concerned about grazing compaction in these things. But we've done some work to show that if we can maintain residue at the end of graze out, and even if we do take it down to limited residue, if we can plant a cover in the summertime and regain some of that, then we can maintain the productivity of that soil and over time allow that soil to accumulate organic matter and make it very productive. I mean, we've got guys that produce a lot of beef off no-till cropland, but you've got to be gentle with it because if you're going to maintain the no-till, you can't go out there and graze it slick to the ground.
So the trick is you leave residue.
Yeah, you need to leave some residue, and you need to find a crop rotation that is viable that can allow you to manage the pest pressure that can be problematic in a continuous cropping system. And that's the thing of all over the country. You know, and that's one of the things that you hear the NRCS pushing is they talk about that no-till is not enough, that you got to have crop rotation and cover crops. And that first word, crop rotation, is the critical part to me. If cover crops improve the success of the rotation, then I'm all for it. But if we're cover cropping just for the purposes of cover cropping with no end goal, mm-hmm. then I have a challenge with it. I want to see guys doing innovative crop rotations, and that is one of the great things about this soil health, the cover crop movement, is it's making people think about other forages beyond our wheat, because wheat is a tremendous forage resource, and that's why we graze so much of it. But I think given our weather and changes in our weather patterns and things, it's a more advanced diversification of our beef complex mm-hmm. if we can diversify the forage resources on our cropland as well, in addition to the wheat.